Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Much loved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. 100 years ago, just to pick a time frame, some matters of life were easier. We have to admit that. Matters of life and death, for example, were simpler. If a woman, for example, stopped breathing and had no heartbeat, she would be declared dead. Today, machines might keep that heart beating and the lungs pumping, and then the family anguishes over whether to pull the plug. If a man's kidneys failed, he died. Today we have dialysis to keep the kidneys going, but then the question arises, what do you do if complications come up? Doctors might suggest radical treatment for your terminally ill mother. But is it better to let her die quietly? A newborn baby has birth defects and intestinal blockage. Should we operate? And the examples go on and on. Maybe we haven't wrestled with them here, although maybe you have. But certainly, every week or every day, the hospitals in Colorado Springs do, and many more. This Friday, I mentioned already, marks the 48th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, when the Supreme Court of our land made abortion legal in all 50 states throughout pregnancy. For those who believe that human life is a gift of God, January 22, 1973 marks a dark day in our history. and it's not tragically isolated. In the 1970s already, Francis Schaeffer warned that abortion was the beginning of the slippery slope that would degrade human life. And we see that in so many ways. One of them is euthanasia, legalized suicide or doctor-assisted suicide, which is legal in Belgium, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Australia, Colombia, and Canada. Oh, and the U.S. What states is physician-assisted suicide legal here? California, Hawaii, Maine, New Jersey, Oregon, Vermont, Washington. Do you wish I would stop? Washington, Montana, District of Columbia, and Colorado. Many years ago already, the Hemlock Society endorsed new version of plastic bags to suffocate yourself. Today, buying and selling babies and baby parts on the internet happens. It's a strange and scary world we live in. We hear about quality of life. What about sanctity of life? Which is another way that saying human life is sacred because it's a gift of God. Or think of it this way to draw in the sermon title, we have designer genes. Not the ones you wear, the ones that make you. In other words, human life is sacred because it is designed and created by God Himself. So we're going to come at that. Human life is sacred from a few different directions this morning. First of all, human life is sacred because of its origin, God. There is no doubt where human life, how it came to be. We are created by the Creator, by God. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. That's where you came from. That's where every person comes from. Think of it this way. Some of you perhaps have a tackle box at home. Maybe it looks like mine. There's a lot of stuff inside. Things that I bought here and there. Some of it catches fish. Some of it just looks like it should catch fish. The one I have, one of them, I got from my dad. It's not fancy or new. It looks about as old and beat up as he was. I haven't been able to get most of it to work. I can get it wet. I just can't get it to do what it's supposed to do. But that is special stuff to me. When our kids were little and I'd take them fishing, that was special because that was Grandpa's tackle box. How much more when we receive something from God? And how much more when that something is your very life? Created by God. A gift from the one who loves you. And what's more, God made you and me and every person in His image. Now, dolphins, we understand, communicate with each other. So that's like humans. Chimpanzees have opposing thumbs, which is like humans. But only mankind is a spiritual being. Only we are able to know and love or rebel and run from our Creator. Only we can know and obey and enjoy God. And it's not just smart people. It's not just American people. It's not just healthy people. All people. The Christian writer Max Lucado tells in one of his books about a sweater he has hanging in his closet. Maybe you have one like his. He doesn't wear it anymore because it's too small. Some of the buttons are missing. The yarn is worn. It would make common sense, I guess, to throw it out. He won't wear it again, and it just takes up space in the closet. But love wins over good sense, because a long time ago his mother made that sweater. And so even though it has lost all of its use, it has lost none of its value. It's valuable not because of its function, but because of its maker. How much more human life? A person's value comes not from their ability or their function, but from their maker. We are created in the image of God, able to know Him and to love Him, and valued by God. And His children, you and I, are protected by Him. Listen to some Bible verses. Just soak this in. Let the Word of God minister to you and enjoy the God who says to you in Psalm 91, verse 11, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Psalm 139, verse 13. You covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Isaiah 49, verse 16. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Take those beautiful words as comfort for your soul and for your life struggles. And bring the message to others who need hope in their souls from the very heart of God. Second, human life is sacred no matter what its condition. Remember that sweater hanging in the closet. It has great value not because of its function, but because of its maker. And remember that life is sacred in this sin-stained world. Jesus warned us, John 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. But that's not the end of the sentence. He adds these soul-strengthening words, but take heart, I have overcome the world. If the cares of life are too much, hear the Savior say to you in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you." For some of us, for some in our church family, for some of our loved ones, life is hard. We seldom know when we interact with someone the burdens they bear. Jesus said, "The poor you will always have with you." But we know from our lives that we also have the lonely and distressed and hurting. And sometimes we are those people. As we show patience and kindness and compassion to them, we can hear the Lord Jesus say to us, "Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And as we recognize that life is sometimes difficult, let's open our hearts and our hands and our homes to those who struggle. While we do not condone sin, we must seek to be a blessing to girls or women confronted with an unplanned pregnancy. We can help those whose child has a problem. Recent statistics show that when a couple learns that their preborn baby has Down syndrome, approximately 90% of them abort that child. How can we help? Women post-abortion often experience significant problems. Do not believe the lie that you can get this done and go on with your life. It's called post-abortion syndrome. And for many of the women who have gone through that, they are experiencing guilt, anxiety, depression, anger, eating disorders, psychological numbness, anxiety over future pregnancies and fertility, and sometimes infertility. We must pray fervently, sincerely, for these girls and women. They are sometimes called the second victim of abortion. Pray for the fathers. They are the neglected ones. And granted, sometimes they're gone, but not without their own problems. Offer the love of Christ to these people in need. Or, if you're ready to stretch, how can we help children who have no home? Think of where I'm going with that. Foster care and adoption is a way to make a real difference. It doesn't always work out. Exhibit A. But I've often wondered why more Christians don't foster care and adopt when we have so much to offer. Or we could minister to a terminally ill person through hospice or visiting them. Maybe their loved ones have forgotten them, or their friends have died already. Or disabled people need the love of Christ through us. When a sibling in our family experienced a traumatic brain injury, we learned the terrible depression that can come in that kind of injury and the ongoing strain To be seriously disabled and feel useless and a drain on others is a terrible thing. More people who need our love and encouragement and prayers. Remember this from Psalm 113, that all these people and more are immensely valuable because God created them as he did us in his image. Go back once more to Genesis 1. This is day 6 of creation. At the end of the first 5 days, the Lord looked at what he had made and said it was good. But there's something different about day 6. Genesis 1 verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The creation of mankind set the first 5 days apart from day 6. Day 6, the creation of mankind was very good. And third, human life is sacred because of its destiny, eternity. A tree dies and it's dead. An animal dies and it's dead. A person dies, and it's very different. It may be just minutes or months after conception. It could be the day before birth or old age or anywhere in between. That person lives forever. The Bible gives ample evidence that in heaven or hell, with God or apart from him, we live forever. How precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints and the lives of all people. He has created them in his image that they and we might live before him forever. That alone stirs us to love and compassion for others, regardless of their health or wealth or looks, ability or inability, stability or instability. Created in God's image with designer genes. Now, I have a $20 bill. It's brand new, crisp, genuine. Who would like my $20 bill? Nobody? Seriously. It is real. I'll show it to you afterwards. Nobody wants my $20 bill. I'm a little disappointed. Now who wants my $20 bill? Your hands are going up in your hearts, I know. Okay, one more. Now who wants my $20 bill? You still do, because it's still a genuine $20 bill. No matter what I do to this, unless I run it through the shredder, but even then you can bring it to the bank, it hasn't lost its value. Sometimes we are crumpled and stomped on and ground down, and yet in God's eyes, we remain invaluable. no matter what has happened or will happen, you cannot lose your value in God's sight. To Him, dirty or clean, crumpled or finely creased, you are still priceless. And so are all who are created by Him in His image for His glory. Human life is sacred. We have designer genes. We thank God, and we bring that message of hope and healing in the Lord Jesus to someone. A baby's life, maybe someone's eternal life, depends on it. Let's pray together. Creator God, we praise You that in Your amazing wisdom and power and grace, You have created us who are here this morning in Your image to know and to love You. And in fact, all people, from the moment of conception to the oldest person who ever lived and everyone in between, those who have great abilities and those with severe disabilities, the wealthy and the poorest and all in between, the most beautiful and the ugliest, and all in between. You have created all persons and created in Your image, and we marvel at You, knowing that also increases our grief when we hear and know of abuse of some, of murders, of exploitation, of abortion. For these too are persons created by You in Your image who have been harmed and some fatally. O Lord God, rescue those who are perishing. And as You have given to us the word of life, so send us forth from here this morning to bring that word to someone in need. Their situations vary greatly, but our message of hope is the same. It is Jesus and life through Him. And we pray in the precious and powerful name of our Lord. Amen.